Yeah, so Han's dead. Suck it up.
Oh, I thought you were going to start with a long time ago in a galaxy. Han's dead!
Nope. Right, let me... It's spoiler time, kids! We gave you a whole week.
I haven't seen it yet. This is the spoiler cast?
I thought we were going to be talking about Luther.
I'm sorry. Not Han Solo.
Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
Hans Gruber. Yes. Hans Gruber falls on top of the Starkiller base at the end, and it's a beautiful scene.
We're reviewing our favorite Christmas films.
I guess we're doing the spoiler review for Star Wars The Force Awakens. I'm Chris.
JC.
Bo.
Herman.
Jason.
Sarah.
And I already was on a review for this thing with Richard, which is basically like Star Wars The Debate.
Why isn't he here?
Well, he had to run because his mother-in-law's in town.
Oh, he's afraid of us. And he's afraid of his mother-in-law.
The Sith cannot handle Jedi in force. They have to use trickery.
And honestly, I don't know what any of you thought about that movie. I haven't been on Facebook that much. So for all I know, all of you love it. All of you might hate it. Any combination
you,
of the two.
You missed my Star Wars Dachshund post. That was awesome.
Well, why don't we just go around with you guys. I've already, in my opinion, like I said, go around with you guys and just real briefly at a time just say, you know, what your number rating is, and then from there go into the spoilers and back and forth and everything.
I would say, you put me on the spot, so I didn't think of anything arbitrary, so I'm just say 8 out of 10.
Ooh. Our arbitrary 9 BB units out of 10.
BB 8 out of 10.
Yes. BB 8 out of 10 for the win. This movie made me very happy.
Yeah, as a lapsed Star Wars fan, coming back and seeing what it should have been, it's sad because, you know, I'm in my 20s right now. I never was able to see a good Star Wars movie in theater until now. I give this 9 out of 10 scruffy-looking Nerf herders.
What about you, old man?
I liked it better the first time when it was called A New Hope. We'll get to that. No, I liked it a lot. I really liked it. I don't think it's going to hold up, but right now I'm thinking like 6 or 7 out of 10.
I'm going to give it, Jar, 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 Binks. That was 7 out of 10.
No, I think that was a failed joke.
Jaded bastards.
So obviously we've got a bit of a range here with Jason taking up the back of the line.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
No, I mean...
I really did.
It is funny, though, how I've found that people who are the biggest Star Wars fans I know, which is to say people who still made excuses for the prequels, Jason, who are the people who seemed less enthusiastic about this movie.
I noticed you sent my only ally away.
He left on his own.
Wait, what did you give it?
Well, like 6.
I give it 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7. Yeah. I really liked it.
Whereas people who were like, I don't like the prequels, are like really enthusiastic about this one. And I don't know. I mean, I find that actually kind of interesting. Richard had a point where he said that the prequels expressed George Lucas going someplace completely different.
Like, just wasn't
like,
done well.
Going to like a very different worlds and a very different feeling to everything. And, you know, whether you love that or hate that, it's true. Whereas this one feels more like it is very, I mean, love it or hate it, you got to admit, it's hitting a lot of the same
beats. Right. They used all the proper climates except the swamp planet.
When you go get ice cream, do you get a different flavor every single time?
Nope.
You always get your same favorite flavor of ice cream. That's how I think of Star Wars. Like, okay, the prequels were kind of like that weird pistachio, cranberry, caramel thing that they might have.
You're saying the prequels are artisan ice cream?
With like soy in it. No, just like a soybean. Just like one soybean, and you're like,
interesting way to what is this? Sunday.
Just a cube of tofu on top. Yeah. Why?
And they're like, it's gluten free.
I came into this probably, I wasn't the hugest Star Wars fan coming in, and so like, I can understand the criticisms of it being too much like A New Hope, because as I was watching The Force Awakens, I kind of felt that a little bit myself, but at the same time, I was still enjoying everything I was seeing, probably because of the ice cream analogy.
Yeah, it is the chocolate ice cream or whatever you like. I don't know. I'm not going to judge.
Bubblegum.
I do like pistachio with soy.
I'm going to judge.
All right.
I can understand.
Metaphor's over. Moving on.
I mean, you guys hungry or something?
I'm starving, okay?
I mean, the big complaint everyone has for this movie is that it's borrowing too much from A New Hope and really Empire and Jedi too. But in a way, I think it had to. This was a reintroduction to the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
I mean,
it was kind of a
reboot. Haven't got... What?
It was kind of a reboot.
Yeah exactly.
There's certainly an argument to be made there.
That's why...
enough of your metaphors,
that's
Jason.
That's why, you know,
my kind of a reboot.
It pays homage to the first movie.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, just shy, for me anyway, of slavishness. But you know what else did that this year? Creed. The movie everybody fucking is going apeshit over. Yeah. So,
and I find
it
interesting that the same people who love Creed are not, you know, they're complaining about Star Wars, but not so much Creed.
Yeah, but Creed wasn't the third fucking time he'd fought a giant Russian.
I'll agree. And yeah, that is, you know, a major flaw in the ointment is that J.J. Abrams, who is not particularly somebody I trust to do something out of whole cloth, was, you know, dipping so far into the well that he was sopping up stuff with a sponge. But he made me joyful in it.
Yeah.
There wasn't any point that I was just like, oh, this old thing again. I was like, I know what that is. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so much different from the Star Trek reboot, which was more like, Star Trek! This was like, oh, this exists in the same exact universe, so it makes sense that they have Nied Nub, my favorite character of the Star Wars universe.
That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Why?
He was...
What? He's awesome.
He's...
The Kenyan-looking vagina? The Kenyan-speaking vagina?
No,
he's
great. No.
You said
it's
it.
A great character. Expand universe.
But, I mean, you know what I mean? It's kind of like... It's like going home.
Yeah.
It's like, I know this thing. I know this character. I know this weapon. I felt warm and safe.
It's a real weapon.
Well, with the prequels, I felt cold and alone.
Why are you touching me there again?
And this, you know, one of the things that this movie does so well is introduce the new cast. Like, everyone's excited to see the returning face. We all want to see Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and blah, blah, blah. But it's really, I think it's the new cast that really make this movie what it is.
It's a stepping stone to them.
And, like, I think we're going to start to talk about the characters more, but if you notice, like, you have a character named Finn and Poe Dameron. They managed to establish a friendship between them in 5 minutes here on screen. And in the prequels, they couldn't establish a friendship between Anakin and Obi-Wan in over 6 hours.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then they actually kind of played against the New Hope model, which was everybody gets to get, you know, when Han meets Luke, he's like, I can fly this piece of junk just as well as you can, and there's bickering, and get this fucking rug out of my way, and all that. Whereas at this point, anytime it's great after that monumental scene with the Falcon takes wing again, and you know they finally get rid of the two TIE fighters that are tailing him. They jump into each other's arms, going, "Oh my god, that was great! You're awesome! Yeah, you're awesome too!"
One of my favorite lines was when he gives him his name. He's like, "F Finn, no, I'm not calling you."
It should have been F you something.
I did like Finn. Essentially, how he said like Finn wasn't. He was good at some stuff, but he's like, Poe, I need you to fly for me. Ray, I need you to fight for me, because I can't do those things.
I liked it because he was kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
He's very much the audience avatar, and it works, because there's really nothing like that.
Droid, please!
Oh, God. BB-8.
BB-8 was great.
He's amazing.
The new characters were so good, not real well fleshed out by any stretch of the imagination, but they were so fun to watch. That I found myself like, oh, yeah, Leia. Yeah. No, I'm excited. That's what I was looking forward to the whole time. But can we get more of Poe Dameron being a badass?
Right. Yeah. I didn't even care that Luke didn't show up until the last 30 seconds.
Yeah, I was completely fine with that. Yeah.
I actually, well, for one thing, that was definitely something that I saw coming, and I think a lot of us did. That there's just like, okay, well, obviously, Skywalker isn't in the poster because he's appearing in a very small amount of the film. And when he turns around and takes off that goddamn cowl, he's like fucking King Arthur, and it's awesome.
He looks broken.
He does.
That's so good.
I mean, he looks familiar. You look like somebody in this room.
But she literally flew the fucking Millennium Falcon. She literally flew the Millennium Falcon to Avalon and found Luke. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, hey, man, sold.
And the look on his face, I was like, Don't tell me that Mark Hamill can't fucking act, because he just emoted so much without going over the top.
Yeah, he was like, you
like 5 seconds.
You came at the wrong time. I didn't get anything. There's nothing in the fridge.
Yeah. I mean, because he's standing out there on the coast like a fucking Massengill commercial.
We deleted the sequence right after where he goes, we're going to get some tricks and kill the Flash.
And she just turns around, gets back in their ship.
He looks at her and he says, did the bat send you?
Hey, I've been waiting for you.
And she's like, I have no idea who you are.
Put on these Harlequin tights.
It's like, seriously, just grab the lightsaber. My arm is killing
me. I know. She's like, are you going to take this? Or I just want Ray's internal monologue to be like, Is he retarded or something?
Like, that'd be great.
Does he see me?
And he like just, the first line of the next movie was like, great, did you bring my fucking hand?
Yes, I brought hand.
Speaking of hand, bad news.
Anyway, I would like to say about Han's death, I actually really like the way they handled it.
Yeah. So did I.
Unlike Captain Kirk, they gave him a noble death.
Yeah.
That I really liked.
Even though you see it coming.
No ladder death.
It's done well.
When he tumbles off into the reactor, I'm just like, oh my god, I'm feeling every ounce of joy that Harrison Ford feels that he never has to do this ever again.
And he doesn't even have to be a Force ghost.
And like, all of his press up to this now, like, makes complete sense. He's like, yeah, I'll do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. That's fine.
He calls Lucas in the middle of the night. I'm free!
Fucking weird bottle guy.
Can you do Indiana Jones again, please? How about Air Force 2?
Indiana Jones and the Golden Colostomy Bag.
Oh, aren't they making another Blade Runner?
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's going to spoil whatever movie he does in the future now.
I don't think you're going to sell that Harrison Ford as a replicant at this point.
I think the first time in a long time, Harrison Ford brings it. He is Han Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 30 years. Sure, but this is Han Solo.
From the moment he's on screen, you're like, holy crap. It's really Han Solo.
The Chewie and Han banter.
Yeah.
Worth the price of admission.
The bowcaster too, all that stuff.
And I love the fact that he's constantly amazed that Rey is actually pretty goddamn good at flying the Millennium Falcon. It's like, I love that. She's kind of like, yeah, you idiot, just do this. He's like, I knew that. And
you bring that up. Can we talk about the way people are kind of hating on Rey because
ridiculous.
Of
the
marriage? Explain.
Yeah.
Well, I think it is smaller.
She's too competent. She's too strong of a female character. I'm going to go on a rant here. You got hacks Max Landis, who hasn't written a strong female character in his life. The only thing he's ever done really is he's a famous internet video about Superman. He made the indie version of Akira, and he also wrote Victor Frankenstein and American Ultra, which were both shit. So I don't really take his opinion. I don't really hold it in high regard. I mean, he's the one who's flag waving. He's like, oh no, he said on his Twitter, she's the worst character in Star Wars history.
That's ridiculous.
Whoa! What is going on?
Overly competent.
Okay, so now
they bopped up her power set, but I think there's reasons.
Right.
I'm like, it's like, okay, you boil this film down into the ultimate moment, and she's got to have and win a fucking lightsaber fight
against a mentally unhinged person.
If it was just her in this film that suddenly has much stronger Force awakening than we've seen before, I would go, this feels like it's a little bit like out of like what's happening here. But the fact that Kylo Ren can do shit, like, he doesn't just Force choke somebody, he's like, come here,
the scene where Poe is like, you know, throwing down on 15 TIE fighters at once, and you're like,
yeah,
okay, he can fly pretty good.
He was minor, you know. I mean, he was only in it for 5 minutes.
She was
the main character, and I struggled with it because I was like, is she overpowered? And really, the answer is, it doesn't really matter because I enjoyed the hell out of her.
But
she did fuck up a couple of times.
Yeah.
And she was really tortured, so she's not poorly written.
You learn a lot about her when she's being interrogated by Kylo Ren. I mean, I really love that moment. He's like, oh, you're lonely, and you pray for sleep and stuff like that. I mean, that is the emotion for that character.
There's some subtle bits, too. Yeah. Like, she's got a fucking doll in her like, little hovel of an X-Wing pilot, and she's playing with a fucking X-Wing helmet. It's obvious, like, this is, she's an Alliance fangirl.
Who's her parents? Who are her parents?
Luke.
Is it too obvious?
IMDb lists her as Rey Skywalker.
No.
Well, IMDb is
I know, I know, but I mean...
Fucking hobo. Yeah.
What does Wikipedia say?
But true. I mean, I just want to, like, okay. So, Rey's skill set in this film, how is it any different from Luke in A New Hope?
Right, it's not.
Where, like, so, he has, like, 5 seconds of force training from Obi-Wan, who's sitting in the corner like, yes, just to... pretend it's there, you know, yeah. Whatever.
My God, is Alec Guinness in this room?
From the suit and
well,
point of view.
He's, yeah, he's because just, he was better than Luke at the end of his training at Dagobah and Empire.
Well,
that's the point.
She also had to survive on her own, completely on her own, and climbing in the Star Destroyer on the planet, and like
he's not exactly a corn-fed farm boy.
Yeah, no, like Luke looks like some suburban kid.
Yeah, and it's to that end that, and it's the reason why I wanted to bring it up because like you mentioned how surprised Han was to see how good she was at everything, and people were having major problems with that, but like we don't know her entire backstory. We don't know why she's such a good pilot.
There's two more sequels coming, folks.
Well, we do know why she's good at mechanics because her whole job is a scavenger, going into old ships and knowing where the valuable parts are.
And her having the force thing, I read it as the way any kind of legendary athlete, like the first time a great basketball player picks up a basketball, it just kind of makes sense to him. You know, he still needs training, but he's obviously something he's good at. It's obviously something he's born to do. So I read it her power as that.
And certainly, I'm sorry.
There's also the fan theory that.
The Sarah theory
that she was dropped off on this planet after having some force training.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility.
I think that's likely.
Yeah, I mean that's what it kind of looks like.
I would be surprised at that, but yeah, I like the theory that you know she's just. And if you notice, like, her stuff tends to come out after she has connections with Kylo, and also with Lupita Nyong'o's CGI character.
But calling her Mary Sue?
Nobody said that yet.
That's some dismissive stuff.
It's absolutely. It's just something to hate.
It betrays a complete lack of understanding what Mary Sue even fucking means.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, Lupita Nyong'o is Maz Kanata.
Yeah.
Who is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, she was great. What was that? Where is my boyfriend?
I like that Wookiee.
That's one of my other favorite lines.
I feel like she's kind of the replacement Yoda in this film, but they made her so different from Yoda that I didn't really care. Yeah. I actually liked her in it.
And I loved, I actually read a really great interview with Lupita Nyong'o where people were like, And I was kind of mad when she was cast at first and found out she was a CGI character because I was like, is this just erasure or what? You've got one of the most beautiful black women on the fucking planet. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, they told me it was CGI from the beginning and I jumped at it because 12 Years a Slave, it was so much about my body. And after, you know, going down all of those red carpets and being on all those magazine covers and being, you know, it being so much about my physicality, the opportunity to do this was amazing.
Yeah. And Mike Myers.
It's true because
busy.
The her voice acting and motion capture acting is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, you really like this character.
So I get that, Jason, you don't agree about her. You did not care for her character at all.
Maz Kanata?
Yeah.
Oh, loved it.
Oh,
no, really liked it.
I'm sorry.
Shut up, Chris.
What's not to like about her?
No. I thought she was great.
Okay.
I think the one CGI character, I don't know if anyone else had the problems with Supreme Leader Snoke.
Yeah. He smacked the fucking sequels right down to the stupid fucking name.
Dude, I liked him. I was I was excited because I was like,
fanboy.
My reaction was.
Emperor lived.
There's a rumor of who he might be.
Darth Plagueis.
Which would be cool.
I think Darth Plagueis.
Darth Plagueis was mentioned.
He's Emperor Palpatine's Sith master.
And the one who created Anakin.
Remember the one cool scene in the entire prequels where the Emperor is telling him this is how I learned about the powers of the Sith.
And life and death and all that. But I don't know. Everybody was like, oh, I'm so glad he's not 20 feet tall. And I was like,
I thought the women cool.
I didn't
know. Like, it would make sense in this universe.
Just like Nephilim or something.
Just for that scene where, like, you know, the good guys confront him. They're like, oh, shit, they have a cave troll.
Oh, my God. If they call him Darth Gigantus, that's going to be awesome.
So, Jason, you gave it a 6. What did you specifically not care for in this?
Just that... there were so many callbacks, and I get that. I get that you have some callbacks and remind everyone why they liked Star Wars to begin with. But there were so many of them, I was like, you don't need to do that to a movie that is already part of the cultural fabric. everybody knows this fucking story.
I don't agree, because I think a lot of people who are younger than me, kids, they've only grown up with the prequels. That's the only Star Wars they know. They've only seen Star Wars The Clone Wars. Yeah. That's it. Or Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
Like, this, for a lot of people, is their introduction to Star Wars. For some kids, like, when I went to the premiere, or not the premiere, but when I went to a screening, I saw a bunch of little kids who had never seen Star Wars before, and they went in, and it was just a magical moment for them.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I did think there were, like... All right, so I can't say this part without talking about Star Trek Into Darkness a bit, which my problems were ultimately his lifting entire sequences and then tweaking them so it's a different character does the thing that did it in the original one, which came out as, like, just a poor, like, see how funny that is?
See, Spock said it in this one.
And that's partially because in those sequences... It's so incredibly dramatic and emotional in the original film, and the second is just feels cheap. Here, most of the time he's doing that stuff, it's not in the heavily dramatic emotional moments. It's stuff like Poe giving the BB-8 the file to go find.
And the finding the remote on the Falcon, you know, when... Finn sits on it.
Yeah.
Right. There were more like Easter eggs than like.
Sure. Well, no, the plot structure. The plot structure was.
Yeah.
I thought it was slavish. I was like, oh, this is. I mean, really, at its base, it's like, okay, you've got plans that everybody wants. It's hidden on a droid. It's lost on a desert planet. Everybody's trying to find it. There's a crazy evil Jedi looking for this girl. and then there's a super weapon that's the size of a
weapon. I would like to bring up, is not a Jedi yet, not even a Sith. They say, statistically...
Well, semantic hairs.
I know, but that's one of the things, like, during that saber fight, they're like, oh, she's overpowered, and it's like... He's just been hacking people to death with that sword. He hasn't ever fought somebody with it.
Yeah, but I mean, the overall structure was... It was... Towards the end, I was like... So you just stuck with that the whole time. And what the one thing that they really should have done that they didn't do, if they were going to be that slavish to A New Hope, the one thing that they should have done was say, was have Han Solo or Leia say, no, Kylo Ren betrayed and murdered my son.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
But they still consider him their son. That's the difference between.
I mean, that's
like,
why the sacrifice doesn't make sense if they believe that he's become
like
a monster.
To Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin is dead in A New Hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, in this one,
Han is still trying to save his son.
Yeah.
And that moment when he touches, even after he gets stabbed, and he touches his son's face, because, like, you're still my son, even though you just killed me.
I fucking lost it.
Yeah, I did too. I cried.
And then Chewie's scream.
I wanted to see more.
You shut the fuck up.
I wanted to see more, like, okay, I'll be honest. I want Episode 8 to be Man on Fire starring Chewbacca. That's what I wanted. I want to see him killing every last motherfucker that gets in his way.
I really thought he was going to die, too. I thought he was just like, yeah, you guys take off. I'm going to kill every living thing on this fucking station.
I actually appreciated how that scene was done. Like, it wasn't like kind of an out of... Like, if he didn't turn a corner and was stabbed, like, as soon as he stepped on the bridge, it's like, oh, well, fuck, he's going to die.
Yeah. Obviously.
Well, one of the...
It's like drawing
it's
it
the
out
aftermath
less surprising.
And how the characters react, what makes that scene work.
Well, maybe my least favorite thing in the whole movie was Chewie gets off the ship right after Han dies and just fucking walks right past Leia. I'm like,
yeah, that got
what?
Me too. Because as soon as I saw them kind of coming towards each other, I was like,
I know, I was ready. I was just like, oh, wait, okay.
I was like, tears, here they come.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the biggest flaws of this film is that they don't give Leia anywhere near enough to do. And there's such
a
great
face can't express anything anymore.
Well, okay, so like,
it would be a little hard.
But you know what I mean? Like this
she's
is
serviceable.
Like, she should have been one of the emotional centers of this film.
Stop.
And she's ultimately just kind of commenting around the outside here and there. And you're like, you're not going to seriously give Leia more to do? This feels like the film equivalent of the fact that the Star Wars pack they put out with the main characters doesn't include any of the female characters.
I was really fucking pissed off about that like 3 hours ago. Don't get me started. I think probably, like, Jason, you said at the beginning of our review that probably the worst thing about this is that it's not going to stick. It's not going to stick in the same way that the original trilogy does. Like, you turn on Star Wars, any of the original ones, at anybody's house at any time, and people will sit down and watch it. This one, maybe. I'll probably watch this a good 5 times before I'm like, I'm going to wait a few years before I see it again.
Yeah.
And, like, it was funny listening to Richard's commentary talk about it, the prequels being having more to say. I think the fact that, like, this one and the original trilogy don't really have much to say.
Well,
it's just like evil is evil and good is good.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this was I feel like this one was kind of training wheels, saying, okay, here we go. We're passing the torch. We're catching you up with what everybody was doing. We're telling you a familiar story. We're introducing you to these new people. And now with episode 8, it's like, all right, we put an auteur on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Johnson.
Yeah. So. We're rolling.
Well, that's the thing here is that I do kind of agree with Chris that they need you to get back into the spirit of what the original films were like. Mm-hmm. Because the prequels don't feel like the original films. No. They feel very different in tone and pacing and everything, quite frankly. This feels like the original, not just because, as you said, Jason, they are hitting so many of the same beats. Mm-hmm. One of the mistakes is, did we really need another Death Star?
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's like, even watching, I'm like, you know, I'm not saying I'm not going to enjoy this because I
will. Man, we didn't need it the second time,
much less.
Super Death Star.
I do want to point out one of the legitimate, you know, bitches about the film that's out there is that. Which I don't understand, because all you had to do is give, like, a couple of extra lines in the opening crawl, and you would have made it's like, what's the Resistance? What's its relationship to the Republic? What's the First Order? And I know this now,
right.
But it's very weird. You're like, you know, they keep on talking about, like, oh, the fleet's going to be destroyed. And I'm like, are you just talking about those, like, 15 X-Fighters? Because if that's your fleet, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah. You know now that the Resistance is very small.
Yeah, it's incredibly small. And they don't really do any service to that. They don't explain that, oh, Leia was, you know, she's kind of this political pariah now who's just like, well, fuck it, if you're not going to take on the First Order. And the very, very important point that the Republic has a treaty with the First Order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why they haven't been doing it.
Well, there must be in a Cold War of sorts. The other thing is, you got to keep in mind, there's 30 years of history we don't know yet. I mean, the expanded universe is
wiped out. That's granted, but these are, like, major points that I was like, okay, what's going on? And, world building is very important to me, and I'm not too slavish to it, but when you're doing something this, you know... Sure. This much about a power struggle. Tell me what the struggle is.
So, Easter egg, did any of you read Star Wars Aftermath?
No.
The novel?
Yes.
I was about to ask if anybody read any of the canon stuff.
I wouldn't say it was shit, but it's not that good.
There's one good part about it, because they hint at a certain character that I love in the Expanded Universe that may be coming back.
Oh.
Jar Jar. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No. You shut your filthy mouth.
At the end of this, I just want to talk about, like, who
Boggle the Lesser. No, there are a lot of, we won't get into, like, the review of Star Wars Aftermath. I have a lot to say about it, but.
That's good, because we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It was a novel by
Is that one of those, like,
Chuck
books
Wending.
That help kids with math?
Exactly.
It's like Alien Invaders.
R2 plus D2 equals RD4.
It's like Math Invaders on your old Texas Instruments. But no, the in the book, one of the main characters is this kid named Temin Wexley.
Yeah.
And he's this kid on whatever planet, I don't fucking remember. But anyways, his parents are off fighting in the rebellion and et cetera, et cetera. Greg Grunberg's character is that kid from the novel.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until just the other day. I had to look it up.
Greg Grunberg, the guy who's in every J.J. Abrams
film. He was fat X-Wing pilot.
He was
2.0.
The guy from Lost.
Yeah, apparently, like, he saved J.J. Abrams' life as a child or something. And they're like, you've got a job for life as long as I'm writing this shit.
Doesn't Poe kind of feel like... Like, J.J. watching these films growing up, like, man, I wish they had done more with Wedge Antilles.
Yes!
This is what he wished they had done with Wedge Antilles.
Where was Wedge? Where was Lando?
Well, here's the thing. The guy who played Wedge in the original films, he said, I want nothing to do with these movies.
Why?
Really? He said, I want a bigger part. And J.J.'s like, well, look, we can make you an admiral, like, kind of in the movies. Like, nope. I'm better.
Wow.
That's weird.
And he was like,
that's really strange, because I'm sure he's just, like, working a lot now. Well, he's probably hanging out with David Prowse.
He's living off of his nephew.
Exactly.
Money. Yeah, exactly. Ewing.
Now, the thing about Poe Dameron, originally, he was supposed to die in the opening.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That was what, but then...
You can't kill Oscar Isaacs, he's too handsome.
But then J.J. Abrams, he changed the story to have that character, because he thought it was Oscar Isaac's... Performance is so great. Yes,
incredible charisma.
His things that he does on the screen.
He's such a promising character in this. Yeah. is what I love about him.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even get. We see just enough to make us go, "Wow!" I hope they show a lot more.
Well, you have, because in Rey you have, like, this hardcore power that's very reluctant. In Finn, you have the guy who's completely out of his fucking water. And Poe, you get this, like, I'm really good at what I do, and I'm fucking enthusiastic and optimistic about it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, those three, like, sides of the prism are one of the things that makes this film work and be a joy, because you're experiencing it through them.
Yeah, because of romance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was something that the prequels were definitely missing. My biggest problem with the prequels that it focused so much on the Jedi, and it made you realize that the Jedi were so boring. And you don't want to hang out with them. But with this, I want to hang out with Finn. I want to hang out with Rey. I want to hang out with Poe. I want to hang out with everybody in this movie, even Kylo Ren. We probably listen to The Cure together.
I want to bring up Kylo.
Anyone been paying attention to emo Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh my god, it's so good. He's like, you know, you really can't experience the true beauty of the Imperial March until you hear it on vinyl.
Yeah.
That's what I love, is that he's like, I think JJ made the right decision of teasing you, like, oh, this guy's just the new Darth Vader, and not then becomes clear he is so totally just a Vader fan.
Is anyone surprised that Han Solo was a shitty dad?
What made him a shitty dad?
He had his hairy friend hanging out on the couch all the time.
He's
probably drunk a lot.
I wish Chewie's my uncle.
There should be like a Sons of Anarchy type show about like that period in his life, you know, where they're just like hanging out in the clubhouse.
And you know, Leia's probably always bitching at him, when are you going to get a job? You know what I was doing when I was your age? I led the fucking rebellion.
The thing that I gathered from it was that Han wasn't around as Ben was getting slightly older, because him and Leia were kind of doomed from the start. When you fall in love in circumstances where you're...
Leia should have gone with the other guy.
Keeping it in the family.
Well, they mentioned that this...
Can I just finish?
Yep.
They met and fell in love during war, and, like, Leia had to rebuild the political structure of the galaxy, and Han...
Had to smuggle.
You know, had to smuggle shit.
But I mean,
it felt like their presumed divorce, it felt very real.
If you look at the power structure, it really is like Britney Spears marrying her backup dancer. Oh my god, Han Solo's K-Fed.
It felt very real, and like Ben's reaction to it was very typical, like, I hate you, Dad. It's all your fault that nobody loves me. Man. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, what if his stepdad was Nian fucking numb? Leia shows up and he's like, I want you to meet your stepdad.
And he's like,
I'm not trying to replace Han Solo, he says in Kenyan.
I love that guy.
But no, like, and also they make a point of saying, like, you know, they farmed him over to Luke.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't even around, and that's one of the reasons he's like, well, he says it in the movie. There's one thing I'm good at. I'm good at smuggling and screwing people over. So I'm going to go back to doing that.
The line that broke my heart, one of my many favorite lines in the movie was
that you gave six to.
Yeah. I know I have a lot of favorite lines, but one of my seven.
That's why you shouldn't have done that at the start. Everybody tries to hedge their fucking bets.
Yeah. No, when Han Solo is walking across the catwalk and he says, Ben, you're like,
you called him. You named him Ben. God damn it.
He should have been like, Skyler.
Yeah,
I'm standing.
Tyler. I was watching it.
I told you, call me Dark Wing.
I was watching it in the Bob Bullock IMAX, which is the biggest theater in Texas, and like you're on all this tiered seating. And like as soon as he called him Ben, I was like, ugh! Like audibly, I'm the only person in the theater. I was like, I'm sorry, but I'm having a moment.
Oh, everybody was like, when I saw it.
I'm starting to think, though, that maybe the Force, which controls all things and yada yada, is kind of a dick.
Force doesn't work like that.
It likes-
that was the
I love that scene.
And you're cold?
It likes patricide a lot.
Yes.
First off, let's be clear on that. And it also likes, like, showing teachers, you don't know all that. You're fuck up.
There's a great article about, like, the Force likes balance, and that's all it likes. And right. so if there are too many fucking Jedi, guess what? Sith. And if there are too many Sith, guess what? Jedi. And it's
like
happier.
I said, kind of a dick.
Not a dick, but it's just like, you can't have too much of that. You can't have too much of that. We're actually all about balance. And that's why Luke's on that at that fucking temple. He's like, I'm not going to use my powers anymore.
Yeah. Can I say that the Force doesn't work like that? Can we make that a thing? That if somebody posts like bad science on the internet, you just comment with the Force doesn't work like that? Please.
Again, a lot of the Han and Chewie exchanges, like when Han was
God.
When somebody said, "You're a smuggler, right?" and Han kind of shrugs or whatever, and Chewie's like, "Oh."
They're an old married couple. I
know. Oh my God.
Love it.
My favorite bit between them, because it was just such a like aw moment, is when he goes back outside and Chewie hands him his coat. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
Or when Chewie was hurt and Han says, "If you hurt him, you answer to me."
Yeah.
I was like, oh God.
In all seriousness, Chewie is my favorite character. Like, I have Chewie everything in my room.
Oh, he's
so
the dog.
Like,
yeah.
I fucking my heart is broken. I'm probably the only person in the whole world who is like kind of mad that Han Solo had to die. Like, I know he had to die. I know it had to happen for many different reasons, but
how could you leave Chewie alone?
10-year-old me is so fucking pissed off right now.
Oh, I got an expanded universe for you book that's going to break your fucking heart.
You shut your mouth.
Is it about how Han's not coming home for Life Day?
Yes.
No. It's like about Chewie dying to save one of Han's kids.
I feel like now we're going to, like, the next movie, they'll be like, where's Chewie? It's like, oh, he's on a cruise with some other seniors.
He shaved all his hair. It's weird.
He's nearly 250 years old, guys. Give the guy a break.
Oh, I like how
and I'm actually talking about Peter Mayhew. Oh.
I can't believe that was him.
It wasn't for a lot of it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, like anything that involved running or like actually moving his legs, new.
Yeah, Junus Suotamo.
Oh yeah,
played
I know
the other
the tall guy, right?
I do think it was a little weird to like, wow, it's Max von Sydow. You couldn't even finish saying Max von Sydow before he was dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is he?
I just wanted him to go, I need two Jedis, a young and an old.
Is he coming back? Like,
it seems unlikely.
Well, when he was in The Greatest Story Ever Told, he came back. So I'm hoping they're going to do something. Well,
I've seen some people say, I was like, because I was talking about that with someone, and I was like, well, didn't Kylo like kill everybody in that village? And I was like, well, we didn't see him die.
Yeah.
I think we're probably... I'm thinking some flashback footage is in order here. Yeah.
Or in the
knows?
Books or the comics, we might find out.
Yeah, I think that might be it. Yeah. Is just, let's get him to play this role in the movie in 3 seconds, so when you read the comics, you go, oh, I love him. You picture and hear Max von Sydow.
Yeah, there have been hints in various semi-official and official places that he played like a huge role in getting the documents to, or the Death Star plans to the Rebels.
The original?
And so, yeah.
Okay.
It's, I think I read
so
that somewhere. So
perhaps we're
going to
see a
younger
version of him in Rogue One.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Who would you get to play younger?
Speculation. So
Max von Sydow.
I don't know. Max von Sydow, it's funny because
Fast
when you realize that...
Yeah.
I would get Fassbender.
It's funny because when you realize, when you watch...
Daniel Brühl.
When you watch The Exorcist and you realize, oh, he was like in his late 20s. That's Father Merrick.
And already looked
like
that. Well, yeah, because he's always like, you look at the seventh seal and you're like, oh, death really actually did touch you.
Maybe he is an immortal.
it's like, well, you're going to look old, but you're going to live
perpetually
forever.
Pissed off. Wait a minute, you made me immortal at 70? Yeah.
Maybe he's just got that John Hurt thing where it's like, he's a lich, and he's just been alive forever, almost dead.
I will say, I wasn't wildly impressed with Domhnall Gleeson in this, but then again, I'm just not the biggest fan of that actor in the world.
Oh, I loved his like Nazi speech. Come on, that was awesome.
That was a moment where
I thought it was a little too on the nose.
Yes, you don't want to make the Empire look too Nazi.
Yeah, they had red and black flags. I mean,
Have you seen the original movies?
One of my complaints was how uptight all the English people were in this. And it's like, if I were from... I'm surprised Richard didn't mention this on your review. That, like, these were fucking, like, robots. these people. And I think it kind of like, it was too much. It was too much. Like in the original trilogy, they're just, you know, officers.
They're all scared out of their fucking
mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like, I have no emotion. I'm on my computer. Blah, blah, blah.
These guys seem like they're a little more into it. For one thing, not all the stormtroopers are clones now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is like, I think the upper echelon officers are fanatics.
Even in the original trilogy, they weren't all clones.
They weren't.
Okay.
Yeah.
They stopped. I'm going to get a little geeky.
Yeah, go for
they
it.
Stopped.
They stopped. In Star Wars Rebels, it's established that they stopped making clones,
Why did they stop making
Now, that doesn't mean that
it's expensive as fuck.
And the clones died. Yeah. They had,
they were getting diminished returns.
When you literally, like, are maintaining a whole galaxy at your disposal, and you just go to a planet and say, hey, guess what? Everybody who's 18, you're in the army now.
Yeah.
You don't need to
or,
make clones.
You know, recruit them when they're like, how old was Finn supposed to be? Like 10? Well,
they stole him.
5 or something?
He wasn't a clone? He was...
Oh, no.
Finn's not a clone.
But I wasn't sure. Troopers,
First Order does not use clones.
No.
Oh, okay.
So they were all different shapes and sizes. Yes. There were some female ones, too.
Beasts of No Nation, basically, is what's happening.
Or Kurt Russell Soldier.
Yeah.
And that's a legitimate...
Beasts of No Nation.
For all that I love Rey and I love what they do with this, I'm like, really? You're going to just shove Phasma down a fucking trash compactor? I hope
she's coming back.
I hope so.
No, they said that she'll...
You cannot squander Gwendolyn Christie like that.
Yeah, I mean, she throw down a trash compactor. Hey, I can think of a way out.
That was a great way.
I'm glad they bring her back at the same time. People complain too much. I'm like, yeah, but you're the same guys who just kept screaming about how much you love Boba Fett, who had about the same amount of screen time.
Oh, fuck Phasma's... Come on. Phasma's coming back. She has... And in her, like, brief moments on screen, she had more character than Boba Fett.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you count the holiday special. Yeah,
fuck you, Jeremy.
I think y'all need to fucking tread lightly.
Boba Fett is bro fantasy.
No, he's got 5 lines, dude.
He's awesome.
I know a lot of people got upset, like, oh, the emo Kylo Ren, whatever, because they wanted Darth Vader. It's like, I don't want Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that this is this troubled guy. I think one of the funniest scenes in the whole thing is where he's having a fit in the 2 stormtroopers.
Yeah. That's
organic humor. Yes.
Yeah, there were so many times where people laughed out loud in the audience, and it's like, did you guys laugh at all during the prequels?
No, even though they desperately tried to make me.
Yeah. I appreciate how Poe's first words are like, so how does this work? Do I talk first?
Yes!
There were, in the prequels, there are some good fart jokes, let's be honest.
Oh, right.
Shut up.
But I think ultimately that's like, you know, what Lucas, the difference between the two mentalities, Lucas is going, this is for kids. He said as much. He's like, I'm directing this at little kids. It's for little kids. The originals are for little kids. It's like, JJ is like, yeah, but the problem is kids will also like this thing that's directed at everybody.
The problem is kids aren't as stupid as George Lucas seems to think they are.
And the other thing is that Lawrence Kasdan wrote this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote Empire and Jedi.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. You should watch Grand Canyon.
About 30 really shitty films.
But it definitely helped that he was there to hold JJ's hand.
Yeah.
And go, like, we don't need Lynn Splash here.
JJ should have called Gary Kurtz.
That baffles me that was not done, quite frankly. Because, I mean, it's such a big story that, like, yeah, Kurtz got screwed. And was really as equally...
Yeah.
Like,
and called Lucas's ex-wife. Oh, God, that would have been so good.
They should make a movie about the behind the scenes and make it all about the drama.
Oh,
so
fast.
You know, there is a movie about the behind the scenes and the Kurtz-Lucas split. That's the date. I forget what it's called, but the date of the original release. Well, nobody's seen it, apparently. It's still sitting on a shelf.
God, who did I talk to that saw it?
Did somebody see
Yeah, and they said it was not good. God.
It's being held in Jerry Lewis.
I'm not supposed to say anything. No one I know has seen it.
It was Cargill, wasn't it?
No, it was not. It was not.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Final thoughts. JC, get started.
So I think I talked about this on Blue Christmas, but I was really anxious for this movie because in 1999, all of this had completely passed me by. Like, I hadn't seen any of the movies up until that point. I kind of looked at this from afar.
I was fucked up, bro.
Yeah.
Were you on a compound? Like, some kind of cult thing?
Just never got around to seeing
the girl in the room? Was that you?
Yeah. I don't trust you, JC.
Yeah. And so the first movie I'd seen wasn't until episode two. And so, yeah, I was excited
I'm so sorry.
So I was excited to kind of to take part in this experience. I'm like, I'm glad that I saw it at South Lamar, where, like, everybody was amped up and everybody was dressed up. And I even bought a shirt, like, before to just kind of go in.
Oh, my shirt.
So, yeah, I was just, the experience was awesome. I'm glad the movie was great. I already gave it 8 out of 10. Yeah. So, yeah.
Bo?
I will disagree with Jason's contention that this isn't going to hold up. I think it's going to be, people are going to remember this and rewatch it more than they are going to do the prequels any day of the week.
Prequels had a lot of good reviews.
They did. Hey, yeah, you're right. I remember walking out of the theater in 1998 after the first showing in Austin and going like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was.
That was good, right?
Right.
Right,
please,
self? Come
please
on.
Tell me.
Maybe you were sleepy, yes, or on
please
something.
Tell me my whole life hasn't been a lie. But I think it is going to hold up. I personally have way more problems with Return of the Jedi than I do with this film. And so I think I'm going to watch it a little bit more than I would that, you know, given a drunken night when I'm feeling in a Star Wars-y mood. But there's
at 4 a.m.
Yeah, there's
that fucker.
There are totally legitimate complaints to be had with this. Yes, it is very note for note. They borrow so much from the well, they practically leave it dry. That being said, it is so well paced and so joyful in itself that you still walk out feeling very, very happy. You know, and the most important part of this movie for me is that it introduces me into this new set of characters that I'm really excited to take a new adventure with. And, you know, I think that is going to be the major point of its success. And, you know, I hope that we get two more sequels that blow it up even more.
We're going to star film every year from now on, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. This film, I'd say, definitely reawakened.
Whoa!
Hey, it's the name of the movie.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yes, it does have flaws. Sure, the original films have flaws. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to argue that. And yeah, it does borrow from A New Hope and Empire and Jedi. But I was just having so much fun, and I was just happy to see well written characters in a Star Wars movie. We haven't gotten that in over a decade. And so I really connected to that. I think Daisy Ridley is going to be a superstar. John Boyega, we all know, you know, films like Attack the Block, how talented he is, and it's seen here. Oscar Isaac is fantastic. And Adam Driver, who's one of my favorite parts of the movie, he gives us a Star Wars villain with depth. And I know everyone kind of likes to put Darth Vader on a pedestal, but we really didn't get into... I didn't really consider Vader an interesting villain until, like, the end of Empire. Like, A New Hope, he's kind of a thunk. And in the Empire, he's scary. But then it's when the moment when he reveals the secret, that's when it's like, oh, now he's really interesting. With Kylo Ren, yeah, I don't want to give any spoilers for that. But with Kylo Ren, he is a fanboy. He is so insecure of himself that he hides behind the mask. When he takes it off, he's just a regular guy. And I just, like, that's amazing. A lot of people have a problem with that. I don't understand why.
Kind of dreamy in a New York
sort
of way.
Yeah.
He becomes the lead singer of the Decemberists.
His hair, though.
And the other thing I'd like to bring up is I thought John Williams coming back to the score was great. Always great hearing him. I'm trying to think of anything else.
I'm sorry, but I do, because we didn't talk about it yet. Yeah. I was a little disappointed with Williams on this. On the other hand... Dude's fucking 87. Yeah. He was probably like, I gave you three perfectly good fucking soundtracks, and you couldn't handle it, so you.
He gave more than that.
Yeah.
Dude, the mute.
Yeah.
Say what you want.
Oh, I was talking about
Duel
the prequels.
Of the Fates.
Yeah, he gave them six, but yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah,
the best
that's...
thing about the prequels.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is not only the best thing about that, but one of the best parts of all the Star Wars films.
I can't even remember any of the new... scores from Force Awakens.
That's
of course, that's all after only one viewing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true.
I paid attention to it the second viewing, and I was a little like, yeah, this is a little lackluster by Williams standards.
Yeah.
By anybody else's
standards, nothing,
it's epic.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not, doesn't, it, at least it, for the first viewing, didn't hit that ground of epic.
Yeah,
oh God,
he just said, I'm going to Howard Shore this shit.
It doesn't have anything that I want to sing in a bar. I'm just saying.
But anyway, sorry, we sidetracked.
Yeah. No, it's totally fine. But yeah, I mean, I like the score, but sure, it's not maybe as memorable as the original trilogy, maybe even the prequels. But other than that, yeah, like I said, I stick by my rating. 9 out of 10 scruffy-looking nerf herders.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it.
The
no,
end.
I,
my turn.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I'm gonna go see it again. I want to see it in 3D this time, maybe like 3D IMAX or something like that. I don't know.
It's worth going to the Bullock, dude.
Yeah.
Did you
yeah.
download yeah, the Chinese bootleg? Is that what you did? Is that why you didn't like it?
No,
that much?
No. Okay. I actually went to a private screening.
I saw it
not like pretty much ideal circumstances. It was a screening
on
a theater
on J.J.
full
Abrams' lap.
Yes, exactly.
And you're like,
were you and Chepo?
And he's like, shh.
Were you and Chepo just in the front row holding each other?
I really, really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I don't think there's a lot going on there beneath the surface, and so I think. People are going to start questioning it and kind of picking it apart. I still think it's good, but I think it stops short of being great. It's better than the prequels. I still rank Jedi above it, except for the Special Edition Jedi, which is distinctly below it. it's good.
I'm sticking with my 7 on this, and I didn't really talk about the things that I had problems with, other than it's... I feel like in 20, 30 years, people are going to be like, yeah, that was a good movie, if they remember it, if they're going to watch it again. Some of the problems I had with it, and these are the same problems that happened in the original series, as that a lot of plot points happen by coincidence. And maybe it's the Force, but it's like you land on a desert planet and just happen to run into whatever. So that kind of stuff is a little annoying, but that happens in a lot of these adventure-type movies. Some other issues I had with it, that it harkens back to the original series quite a bit, but to be fair, the original series harkens back to many different films and genres, it's all the hero's journey. Yeah, it's all. I mean, what is it? There are only 7
stories that can be told,
and this is one of them.
This is Akira Kurosawa tells the hero's journey. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jason.
Well, it just occurred to me that it's been 32 years since Jedi, right? And in
that's not true. That's impossible.
Did you see that in the theater?
I think people might. What's that?
Did you see that in the theater when it came out?
Yeah, well, I saw all of them.
When you were like 45.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. No, I saw the original.
You and the seniors center went. Right?
Exactly. Yep. Me. Yep. Right. We had to get home before bingo.
The silver screen fans. That's what you were called.
Yeah, I was sitting next to Errol Flynn.
Jason is old.
He was drunk as a skunk and said, "That's not how you wield a sword."
I remember first time I saw this movie when it was called Flash Gordon.
And then he said, "This is how you wield a sword," and he was getting a blowjob from this dame. Anyway, by this, if 32 years from now, nobody's going to remember The Force Awakens because they won't be able to distinguish it and pick out which one it is from the 32 other fucking Star Wars movies.
All right, in the context of that statement, you have a point.
Yeah.
That like, hopefully there are even better ones to come. You know, like, and you'll go like, yeah, Force Awakens was all right.
Yeah. People will be going, well, it's one where Han died. Yeah. No, that one was
which time?
The Force gets a sandwich.
That was the Force. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? It's weird. Like, I saw Star Wars when I was 7. I like remember when I saw it,
which had already been out for 34 years.
It had. Yes, I'm negative something, but. I always associated each of the original trilogy with different colors. So like A New Hope was the yellow
because
one.
Because that's what the VHS boxes
looked
like.
Well, no. A New Hope is the yellow one. Empire is the white one and Jedi is the green one. And it's because of the settings
racist.
Where they focus.
Wow.
Green. That's our word. This one, I'm like, what is going to make it a special color to me?
Orange, because BB-8.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Probably. Maybe. I'm seeing it again in a couple days. So I think I need to watch it again for it to stick with me in a way that I'm not like, oh, I remember that.
Where you can reduce it to a color.
I want to watch pink. I want to watch pink.
I'm sorry.
Put on pink.
You don't understand poetry, Jason.
He really doesn't, to be fair.
Poetry's for fags and communists. What are you talking about?
What word did you just use?
Have you met Jason Murphy?
Never mind.
Think that this is more fun than it's not. And I feel there's a lot of angry griping out there on this one that just seems like bitter grapes because people didn't get exactly what they wanted. I'm like, guys, like, even if you're just like, yeah, it's all right, I'll take that. But, like, to go, I've heard people say it is the worst of the Star Wars films.
Why?
You know what's funny about that, though?
Oh, you're insane.
What's funny about that, though, is this franchise is such a powerful force that people are going to hate watch this thing multiple times.
And it awakens.
They're going to pay money to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I only think I know two people who went that far, and I did not engage with them. I was like, nope. I'm not talking on the comment section of that one, but I'm glad to hear that we all, you know, like, hey, I was worried, Jason, that you were going to come out of it like Richard, like, nope.
No, it was really good. Yeah. It was a fun film. I liked it a lot.
Who hurt you, Jason? Who hurt you? Was it?
I've been defending
George Lucas.
I've been defending the prequels for so long. I'm battle scarred.
Well, thanks everybody for coming in and sitting in on this one. I hope all you guys out there enjoyed it. And we'll be back in another year for the spoiler review of Rogue One.
2 years.
2 years? Wait, what's the movie?
Oh, no, sorry. No, yeah, 1 year. I'm Rogue One next
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
One year and then 6 months later.
I won't be alive, but
6 months later is 8.
Also, Luke dies too.
And then Han, Han comes back to life, right? In the next one?
You know what? They live in a magical time where miracles can happen. A man's entire body could be consumed in flames and lava, and he can survive. Han
Are we
just
talking
got,
about Supernatural?
I thought she was talking about Corvette Summer.
He could have fallen, you know, 300 stories. With a lightsaber hole in his stomach and still survived.
Maybe
they, I'm yeah. saying, you know what?
Maybe,
I was
maybe the ground is made of Bactine.
I was. He's like, ooh, pillows and Bactine.
You hear him screaming from the bottom of the pit. It stings! It stings!
I'm still alive, but I'm gravely injured.
Hello, I'm still alive down here.
Since you're stone cold dead.